Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's that time of the week to hit up our man, Teron Davenport. And to do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And bring in Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, host of Nate and TD. TD, is there anything that you don't do? Like, you are the most multifaceted man on the earth, the most interesting man on the earth.
Oh, I guess I don't drink Dos Equis.
I mean, that could be an opportunity for you there, TD. We appreciate you taking time to join us today, my man.
No problem.
So, TD, what have you seen out of this Ravens offense so far this year? That's been a large talking point this week, not only here locally, but league-wide as well. The numbers just aren't the same from this time last year with that offense. Why do you think it hasn't been as effective?
Well, I think one of the big things that is kind of floating under the radar is they don't have the same ability to throw so many packages at teams. You know, last year they used a lot of 13 personnel. They used 22. They used some 11, not much. But they were able to just run one play but with three different looks. And that's something I asked John Harbaugh about on the conference call this week. And he made a good point. They don't have the three tight ends anymore. They traded Hayden Hurst away, and they never really replaced him with another guy. And they carried two tight ends for the most part. And what you saw was more 22 personnel. They took the fullback Patrick Richard, and he kind of did some of the things that Nick Boyle did, and Nick Boyle did some of the things that Hayden Hurst did. But now they're in a situation where they don't have Nick Boyle, because he's out for the year after his injury against the Patriots. So I think really what was taken away from them was their ability to use so many personnel packages, and that has contributed. And then, you know, at the same time, Hollywood Brown, you know, Marquise Brown and Lamar Jackson, they haven't been able to connect as much either. And that was something that was really important to that offense, because you had that vertical threat.
So TD, this Titans defense, do you think it is equipped to do something like what it did against the Ravens? Like we've already talked about, we've been talking about all week. This is not the same Ravens offense, but still, it's a similar kind of matchup. Can this defense, as constructed, and I'm talking players and coaches, come up with a similar kind of performance, do you think, on Sunday?
Yeah, I very much think that the defense is equipped to do that. And it goes actually beyond the defense. I think if the Titans can get out to an early lead, they could once again get the Ravens out of their game plan. Because that's what happened last year. Shane Bowen said it when we got to speak to him yesterday. You know, they're a different team playing ahead than they are playing from behind. And that was something that really showed in that game last year. So get out to an early lead. Talking to Chris Sanders for Run TMC on talking with TD on the show, you know, he made a good point. If he was the Titans and they win the coin flip, take the ball, drive it right down their throat, and go ahead immediately. And that could change the structure of the game and how that Ravens team would approach it.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD and Nate and TD, Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Okay, TD, so Trevor Daniel promoted to the 53-man roster. Ryan Allen now on the practice squad. Am I missing something here? Like, does the game that Ryan Allen had apparently not count for anything?
I can't call that one, man. He had over 400 yards in punts, averaged 50 yards a punt. No really solid returns, and Dwayne Harris is a pretty good returner. I would think that would be a good performance. And even holding for Gostkowski, I don't believe he didn't miss against the Bears. You know, so everything pointed towards him remaining the the punter, but apparently they saw something in practice, and unfortunately that didn't transfer over to the game. Now, I will say the punt block, that's not his fault, but the shank is absolutely his fault, and I don't know. I can't call that one.
Yeah, and, obviously, Vrabel says, we're good at second-guessing, which, of course, happens after things like that happen, but now we're going into a game, and we're all guessing, We're pre-guessing. Like, why is this decision being made? Ton of focus on Trevor Daniel Sunday TD, and, of course, also on Gostkowski. Are you surprised, one, that he's still the kicker, and, two, how close do you think he is to not being the kicker?
I'm not surprised that he's still the kicker, because my thing is, if you go to another guy, who is that guy going to be? I mean, it's week 11 in the season. I highly doubt that there's someone out there that you could go to that will be better, so then you'll be doubling down. And I just can't see doing that. So it's just kind of like he's in place. It's just so crazy. And, Craig Aukerman spoke about it yesterday, and it's just like, okay, you have a veteran guy, but it seems like he's really in his own head. And it's unfortunate. Coach Aukerman said that if you sit down and talk to Gostkowski, he could break everything down and tell you mechanics and just run through it and say what's going on at every moment. But it's just not clicking. And that's a huge issue, because these games, and especially the way the Titans play, they're almost always close games, and we've seen it where, some field goals going their way or not going their way really influence the result of the game.
TD, we've talked a lot about the offense as a whole since Taylor Lewan has been out, and it hasn't been as productive. But I want to ask you specifically about Jonnu Smith. How much do you think Jonnu Smith has been hurt by the loss of Lewan, given how much extra protection the Titans are having to chip in there with blocks? How much do you think the Titans are missing out on what Jonnu Smith could be giving them right now if Taylor Lewan were healthy?
Yeah, I don't really think there's a full correlation. And Arthur Smith, Coach Art, said it best when he said you could always dig out a certain collection of stats to support a statement, and I think it shouldn't be forgotten that the Titans played the Steelers, they played the Bears, they played the Colts. Some really good defenses. That's something else that comes into play for this whole situation. And obviously Lewan is important to them, I'm not saying that, but I don't think that's a direct impact on Jonnu Smith not getting as many touches or even the offense not flowing as well. So they are missing some things with Jonnu Smith, as far as not being able to get him the football as often. And, they just have to make adjustments on top of adjustments, because teams have started to adjust and figure out ways to try to, go against Smith, especially on those crossing routes and some of the things that they like to do with him. So it might be time to dial up that play action and throw back screen to him or something like that. And I think Art Smith is really good at finding ways to get Jonnu the ball. So I feel like he'll figure it out.
So, TD, I know we're going to find out a lot more today, of course, but are you concerned about the size of this injury report and some of the people on it at this point, some of the people who have gone on it yesterday who weren't on it Wednesday?
Well, I'll tell you what, Dennis Kelly being on it as far as not practicing as compared to being limited on Wednesday, that's a huge issue, along with the situation with Roger Saffold and the ankle, as well as Ben Jones and the knee. Those are the ones that, really stand out, because they just simply don't have the depth to lose two or all three of those guys for sure, but even just two of them, they will be in some trouble. So that's the area where, you probably want some concern. I don't really think Clowney, not practicing for 2 days, I don't think that's an issue it's happened before. In fact, he didn't practice at all, you know, 1 week and played. So there's definitely concern, though, just regarding the offensive line.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD and Nate and TD, Teron Davenport has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. TD, great stuff as always, man. Thanks for joining us and looking forward to the game on Sunday.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Take it easy.
Absolutely. You as well. And TD, one of the best in the business. When we come back, we'll dive back into the Titans and the Ravens. How are we going to feel about the Titans if they lose this game? Is the season on the verge of being lost? We'll get to that on the other side of the break. But first, make sure you're tuning in tomorrow to catch the college football game of the week on 102.5 The Game, presented by Gary Force Acura. This Sunday's game, this Saturday's game, a Big 12 matchup as Oklahoma State faces in-state rival Oklahoma. Kickoff tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. For the first time ever, Nashville will host an MLS playoff game tonight. Nashville SC takes on Inter Miami CF at Nissan Stadium at 8 p.m. for the Eastern Conference play-in match. You can catch all the action on ESPN 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9, starting with pregame coverage at 7:45 p.m. Very much looking forward to that. I know I'll be watching the game tonight and pulling for Nashville SC. Really cool story, and hopefully they can get the job done tonight against Inter Miami CF, who, by the way, came out yesterday. They're going to be missing some folks tonight in the game, some starters as well due to some COVID-19 issues. So we'll see what happens tonight with Nashville SC. I want to go back to our text line real quick, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steven from Hendersonville text in, talking about the called shots. Says, Ryan Porth is the James Harden of 102.5 The Game. Shot after shot after shot. I like it. Porth, would you consider yourself the James Harden of ESPN 102.5 The Game? Porth is in mid-bite of an apple, and I've got him very off guard here.
Just launching. Left and right. Like,
sure.
Pass the ball every now
said,
and then, man.
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Why not?
Do you have the same effectiveness as James Harden with your shots?
No, and I surely don't have the same effectiveness as Big Shot Rob.
Yeah.
Robert Horry.
Yeah.
So.
Hey. Not all of
we'll
us
see, though.
Great.
I feel pretty confident about this Titans game on Sunday. And I feel pretty confident that I'm going to get at least two of those Titans shots correct.
Okay. All righty.
At least two.
I like the confidence.
That would put you at 3.7%. But, hey, two would still be good.
Oh, man. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Talking about the Titans, Ben text in. We'll probably make the playoffs because of the head start we had record-wise this year, but the season is lost as far as a Super Bowl ring is concerned. And because some of the losses – we'll face this offseason with coaching and players. We might not even make the playoffs next year. I don't think it's going to be fixable. Not an optimistic take about Ben moving forward here with the Titans, Joe.
Yeah, that's a little bit Debbie Downer there. That's definitely not sunshine blowing.
Now, I will say, as far as like the Super Bowl is concerned, it does feel like the Super Bowl doesn't look like it's in the cards this year for the Titans. But I think that has more to do with how good the Chiefs are, really, than anything else.
Yeah, and look, sorry, there are a lot of teams that have gotten there, and some teams that have won it that at various points in their regular seasons, there was no way that team looked like a Super Bowl team. You got to remember that too. I mean, last year is a prime example of a team getting hot, although the Titans had carried that over from the end of the regular season. So I agree. I mean, the Chiefs just feel like this insurmountable, you know, task, but it's still so early. I mean, a lot of things could still get better for the Titans to make them dangerous in January.
So we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, but Joe, you look ahead at this game against Baltimore. If the Titans are able to go in here and win on the road and beat the Ravens again, what sort of a statement does that make to you about where this team is right now and maybe where they're heading down the stretch here?
I think it would make a big statement. Because for all the Ravens' struggles, I still would put the Ravens easily, you know, in the top 10. I think they're top 6 or 7 team in this league, even right now with all of their issues of late. And certainly some of those defensive injuries right now are really affecting them. But I think it would be a heck of a statement, and it would really kind of reset the Titans after that debacle against the Colts. And I, to me, push them into that rematch with momentum and confidence that right now they're trying to find. You lose 3 out of 4, and that's going to affect you. But I think that there's more – I think there's more to gain from winning this game than there is to lose from losing this game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, because we've talked about the three-game stretch coming up, Baltimore at Indy, and then home against Cleveland, three teams that are right there with you in terms of the race in the AFC. And I said earlier, like, to be honest, when you think about coming up next week against Indy and then the game at home against Cleveland, I would rank this Baltimore game number 3 in terms of importance. I think – the Titans and Cleveland are going to be right there neck and neck the rest of the year record-wise. Obviously, if you beat Indianapolis, especially if Green Bay comes in on Sunday and beats Indianapolis, all of a sudden you're in good shape again in terms of the race in the division. So the next two games after the Ravens game I would consider to be more important, but I don't think it's like by much. This next three-game stretch is crucial here, and we heard Wesley Woodyard earlier this week on the show with us talk about the importance of this stretch coming up for the Titans. Here's what former Titans linebacker Wesley Woodyard had to say. Maybe.
They got a tough 4 weeks coming up, man. These next few weeks are going to tell a lot about the season. They have to go 2-1 when these next three games, or the season is going to be really in jeopardy of not making the playoffs or definitely not winning that division. So they're a bunch of street rats. They don't like pressure applied on them, but I'm going to apply the pressure on these guys, man. They got to show up, and we got to get at least 2 of these next 3 games if we want to continue to stay fighting and have a chance to get in the playoffs.
So, Joe, what do you make of Woodyard's comments there about this upcoming 3-game stretch for the Titans starting this Sunday against Baltimore?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he's right. I mean, I do think that, you know, I think, again, this, to me, this is a chance to really just flip things around and get yourself pointed right back in the right direction. I think that the next two after this are the games that hurt more to lose. Clearly, I mean, you lose the Indy game. Now you've been swept by them. You have to beat them in the standings to win the division. You're in a really bad spot. And this is a very disappointing regular season if the Titans don't win the AFC South. We're talking about 10-6, not making the playoffs. This team should win the AFC South. So that's a game that's, to me, the most important game. But I agree with you, Robbie. I mean, the Browns game, because of the way that wild card race is shaping up, because of the softness of their schedule, that's a tiebreaker you don't want to be on the wrong side of. So, you know, this stretch is tough. They've been in a tough stretch. I mean, they really haven't had – it's been a while since their offense, you know, has had a soft or even an average defense to deal with, you know, if you think about it. So those defenses are coming. They're on the schedule later in the year. But in the meantime, you know, that side of the ball, you've got to execute better. You got to produce more against these better defenses because, again, that's also – you know, January, that's who you're going to be playing, is teams that can play at least some defense for the most part. And lately, this offense has not looked like the elite offense we thought it was early in the year when it was largely victimizing weak defenses.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon texts in, says, I'm just tired of not being able to rely on Taylor Lewan. It's one thing or another with him. Could Isaiah Wilson replace him next year while Taylor Lewan still has trade value? Joe, your response.
No, he's not a left tackle. I don't think he'll ever be a left tackle. Isaiah Wilson is a right tackle all the way. So I understand the frustration because, of course, Taylor Lewan missed the first 4 games. He had the PED situation last year, missed 4 games, and now he's got the ACL. So I get that, but you paid a lot of money for Taylor Lewan, and the best-case scenario for this team is a great rehab and him back to keep earning that contract because, I mean, if you look at this offense with him and without him, you can't tell me he doesn't make a big impact. It's not all about one guy. It's not all about his replacement. But he is a big part of this offense functioning at a high level, and he's the left tackle for this team when he's healthy. Isaiah Wilson is the hopeful – long-term right tackle. And, you know, TD, last segment, brought up some great points on the banged-up nature of this offensive line. I mean, is Sunday the day that Isaiah Wilson finally has to be in the active 48? It may be.
Maybe. And maybe he even gets on the field, Joe. I mean, 10 games in, the first-round pick, maybe that happens.
I mean, I think right now, if they were in an emergency situation, it would be David Quessenberry. But, yeah, I mean, I think certainly if it's not looking a lot better on that front, you would think that they would consider activating him. And, I mean, you think about the idea of going through this entire season with nothing from your first-round pick.
Man.
Where it's just – it's really hard to fathom when you think about it. So, but long term, you know, Heidi, he's on the other side, and Taylor Lewan is one of the best left tackles in football.
When we come back, we'll continue to dive into the Titans and Ravens matchup. Jeff Zurebeck from The Athletic covers the Ravens. Will join us. That's coming up next. But first, Joe, I've got a word from FanDuel. And Tennessee's game against Auburn tomorrow was already big, but I'm about to make the stakes even bigger. Robbie Stanley here to tell you. FanDuel Sportsbook is adding to the action with a special Spread the Love line boost. For every 250 fans who bet on Tennessee to cover, FanDuel will move the point spread by 1 point in UT's favor. So as long as we keep on betting, the more Tennessee points or points Tennessee will keep getting. And best of all, FanDuel will pay you based on whatever the line is at kickoff, so you don't have to wait to get in on the action. So the line started at Tennessee plus 10.5. In the game tomorrow against Auburn, it's already up to Tennessee plus 35.5. So the line moving very quickly here. It's almost free money here for FanDuel. You've got a chance to get in there, and hopefully Tennessee does not let us all down and crush our souls in this game against Auburn. So if you already have a FanDuel Sportsbook account, just look for the Spread the Love market to place your bet. And if you've been holding out, what are you waiting on? Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Must wager in designated crowdfunding market. Max wager is $50 and the payout is at minus 110 issued as a non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Terms apply. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the big matchup over the weekend between the Titans and the Ravens. And to help us talk about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Jeff Zurebeck from The Athletic, who covers the Ravens. Jeff, thanks for joining us today, man. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Hope you are as well. And Jeff, I want to start with this Ravens offense. That's been a big talking point all week long. The production has not been the same as we saw a year ago. What are you seeing right now with this Ravens offense and specifically with Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, just look, you know, they knew after last season that they were going to have to evolve offensively. They knew that they were going to have teams were going to have, you know, a whole offseason to prepare, you know, and think of ways to stop them much better than they did last year. They knew certain teams were going to be able to add personnel that would put them in better position to stop them. And it just seems like all year they've been caught in between. You know, they want to pass more, but that's not been successful. The running game hasn't been as, you know, dangerous. They're still second in the league in rushing, and they've run the ball on pretty much everyone, at least at a decent clip. But it's not as dominant as it was last year. And they're just kind of stuck in between, kind of lacking an identity a little bit. And, you know, it's really not getting better. Lamar Jackson has had some flashes where he's looked like the MVP from last year. You know, I don't think this is entirely on him. The offensive line is a mess. They have a below-average receiving core to begin with, and they thought they'd be able to get away with that because, you know, they like their tight ends and their running game. And pretty much at every level, they haven't been good enough on the offensive end. And you know, Lamar Jackson, frankly, hasn't been consistent enough. He hasn't been able to get the downfield passing game going. It doesn't look like he has confidence in his pass protection, so he doesn't have that pocket presence. He's not seeing the field as well as he did last year. So, you know, it's not been good, and it's not getting better. They just lost their, you know, they're without their all-pro left tackle for the rest of the season. You guys can certainly relate to that. You know, they didn't really replace their future Hall of Fame guard, Marshall Yanda, and now they lost their blocking tight end. And in this offense, When you lose your blocking tight end, it's a big deal. So they've got a lot to figure out.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff, Jeff. And another thing that I found interesting, you know, you get the Lamar Jackson talking about the other team calling out the plays, which, frankly, I think probably actually happens in the NFL all the time. But I wonder, like, did you take that as some sort of dissatisfaction with Greg Roman? And then following on that, too, do you think Greg Roman is sort of caught in between right now and not sure of where he should go with this thing?
Yeah, you know, the Roman part, first of all, you know, this is sort of his reputation now. I mean, he did in San Francisco where, you know, they got a quick bump and he built the offense with Jim Harbaugh, obviously, and Colin Kaepernick, you know, had the, you know, the great start and then never really progressed from there. And Buffalo, he gave them a temporary bump with Tyrod Taylor, and then the next year it just wasn't there. You know, he just has struggled throughout his career to kind of marry the you know, the passing game with the dominant running game. His running schemes are tremendous, and they're still able to run the ball this year given the fact that they have a makeshift offensive line, and that's impressive. But there comes a time where you have to pass the ball too, and they just haven't been able to do it. There's all sorts of questions about the route concepts. Marquise Brown, who, you know, you guys saw in that playoff game, was pretty much the only Raven who showed up last year. He's been non-existent. He's not even a factor at this point. And, you know, they just haven't been able to get anything going, and that's partly on Roman. Lamar Jackson, you know, sometimes, it's tough to describe sometimes when he answers questions what he's getting at, and you guys know with the Zoom questions, it's tough to kind of hash some of the stuff out. But right. There seems to, that same day, he mentioned that we need to call plays to get the receivers involved. So there's been a couple comments there that lead you to believe he's not exactly thrilled with some of the play calling and state of the offense. He's also talked about how much he appreciates Roman and, you know, they've got to execute. So I think there's a little of both, but there's no question part of this is on Roman to get them out of this.
Jeff Zarebeck from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Jeff, you brought up Hollywood Brown there, and obviously the production in the last few weeks, and really for the most part all season long, hasn't been where we expected it to be. He had a tweet that he deleted about basically not being used enough in the offense. How much frustration do you think is starting to boil over with Hollywood Brown right now?
I think there is, and, you know, there was also another shot at the Patriots game on Sunday in prime time. It was, a third and long, and they ended up coming up short. And while Lamar Jackson and Marquise Brown were walking off the field, there was a between the two. And, you know, I asked Jackson about it after the game. He said it wasn't frustration. He was just telling me he was open and we missed the play. But that's happening too often. And Marquise Brown and Lamar Jackson are best friends. So I don't think the rifts between them. I think Lamar Jackson understands he has to get Marquise Brown the ball. In some cases, he's probably forced the issue, and it's resulted in negative plays for the Ravens because they're trying to get Marquise Brown the ball. But we just, you know, he has to be frustrated. This was supposed to be a breakout season for him. He's finally healthy. He was not healthy all last year. And, in fact, it's gone the opposite. It's gone the opposite way. And some of it's on Marquise Brown. I mean, he's supposed to be this burner, this guy with world-class speed. And much too often, week to week, we're seeing cornerbacks run right with him, which has kind of been surprising. Part of it's on Lamar Jackson. He's missed them a few times down the field. But what we haven't seen is just short passes or different ways to get the ball in his hands to see if he can break one. I mean, there's been no easy completions to try to get him going. You know, maybe you get him a couple short passes early and he gets his confidence up and, you know, something pops for him later in the game. But, you know, we kind of haven't seen any of that. And, you know, at times it's been obvious that the frustration's there for Brown.
On the other side of the ball, Jeff, I would think that if there's a group of Ravens who are pointing to last year, it's probably the guys who are going to be charged with stopping Derrick Henry Sunday after what he did to them last year. It's been a very good defense, but Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams, if they're out, I imagine that's a big deal, and it looks like they will be, right?
Yeah. I mean, Calais Campbell hasn't practiced since he got injured, and they're not going to put a player on the field that hasn't practiced in 2 weeks, you know, at this stage of the season. especially since they have a matchup with the Steelers 5 days after, you know, the Tennessee game. Brandon Williams, I don't expect to play either. So historically, when they haven't had Brandon Williams over the last several years, they have not stopped the run at all. And then you throw Calais Campbell, who's one of the better interior defensive tackles in the league, out, and you know you got a big problem. It's, you know, they're going to have to rely on two rookies, you know, a third round pick and a fifth round pick, and a rotational defensive lineman, Justin Ellis, who's kind of, you know, as I said, he's a guy, he's a rotational defensive lineman. They're going to have their hands full. I don't know how they're going to stop the Titans run game. And to boot, their young inside linebackers, you know, first round pick Patrick Queen and third round pick Malik Harrison, they did not respond physically at all in the Patriots game. The Patriots ran right at them. The Ravens didn't have their two big guys inside to keep blockers off them, and they were overwhelmed physically. So it's kind of a nightmare situation in terms of the timing of this game for the Ravens, missing those two big inside guys against such a physical run-heavy team. You know, I would even go on to say it's one of defensive coordinator Wink Martindale's biggest challenges in here, the defense, to try to get this stopped with the personnel they currently have.
Jeff, how much of a talking point has that playoff game against the Titans last year been for this Ravens group this week? There's this assumption here locally in Nashville that the Ravens are going to come out, they're going to be mad about what happened in that playoff game, and they're going to be ready to go and playing at their best. How much of a talking point has that game been this week for the Ravens?
Yeah, you know, I could see that, but there's no fans in the crowd, so you're not really getting that aspect of it. And I just see a Ravens team that has bigger issues right now. I mean, going in, there's no question everyone had this game circled on the calendar, and they knew when they were going to play the Titans, and they were excited about it and all that. But with the issues that have cropped up with them in recent weeks, it's so far beyond, you know, revenge. As I said, they have the Steelers on deck, and they're, you know, you're staring at a really crowded playoff field right now. Where you can't really afford to lose three straight games, or you're going to have a long way up, you know, to try to make this playoff field. So, you know, the players have said that's last year. We're not talking about it. I think the fans are more riled up about it than the players, surely. But, you know, it's obviously it's got to be in their mind. I mean, that will go down on the short list of their worst losses in franchise history, just for the shocking nature and disappointing nature of it. So I'm sure it's on their mind, but they do have bigger fish to fry, I'll say, and kind of front burner issues to focus on that.
So, Jeff, you know, you mentioned Ronnie Stanley. They're not getting him back. They're not getting Boyle back. They are going to get some of those guys on defense back, and I still think this team at its best can be really, really good. If things were to work out for the Ravens in terms of health and everything, and they figure some things out that shouldn't be insurmountable, do you still think this is a team that can contend and actually maybe challenge the Chiefs in the postseason?
That's a good question. You know, I don't want to sell them short given their pedigree. And we've seen this from the Ravens before, late in the season where they kind of look lost and then they figure something out and all of a sudden they become a tough out in the playoffs. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say, yeah, I think some pieces are in place where that wouldn't shock me. But boy, do they have a lot of work to do right now. I mean, it's just, I don't want to say their offense is broken because, you know, as I said, they're number two, you know, they have the number two rushing game in the league and they still have the, you know, a dynamic quarterback. But, it's just been interesting how it just hasn't clicked all year. And when one problem has kind of led into the other, and now you got the injuries. So, I do think, Joe, I think they're in trouble. I've said that and, they're well coached and they do have a deep roster, in a lot of ways, but, I don't think you can underestimate the Boyle injury at tight end. He completely changes what they do. I mean, last year against the Seahawks, they had him man blocking, Jadeveon Clowney at times on the edge, and that's a tight end. Mm. They think he's the best in the league at what he does, and, he's the point of attack at so many of their running plays, and not having him when your passing game's struggling and you want to rely on the run, that's a problem. And so there are some definite issues here, but the Ravens love this us against the world stuff and everyone's counting us out stuff. It wouldn't surprise me if they find some answers here and get it going a little bit. Ultimately, though, they haven't been able to match up with the Chiefs when they're healthy, so I have a hard time foreseeing them being able to topple them in a key game in Arrowhead in January, February.
Jeff Zurebeck from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, breaking down the Titans and the Ravens. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have a great day, guys. Enjoy the game Sunday.
Absolutely. You thanks, as Jeff. Well. When we come back, we'll dive into what the experts have said here on our show this week and give some thoughts on the Titans-Ravens matchup. Who do we think is going to win? What's going to happen in this game? We'll talk about that coming up next. But first, week 11 of your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is now open. Make your picks of the three college or pro football underdogs that you think will win before the college football games begin tomorrow. This week, the weekly winner will receive a party foul gift card. Just hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up to make your picks today. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Today, ESPN The Game Nashville will be out at the Hard Rock Cafe from 6 to 8 p.m. to celebrate Nashville SC's first ever MLS Cup playoff match. Stop by Hard Rock as the Nashville SC merch truck will be there with the official gear, including everyone in playoff shirts for just $34.99 plus jerseys, hoodies, scarves, and more. You can go to nashvillesc.com/merch truck for more information. Come to the Hard Rock Cafe downtown and let's all cheer on our soccer club as they make history in Nashville in the MLS Cup playoffs. Let's see if Nashville SC can get the job done tonight against Inter Miami at CF.
By the way, Inter Miami has a bunch of COVID players out with COVID.
Including some starters, yeah.
Yeah.
So, not good news that anybody's ever got COVID, but that makes the job that Nashville SC has a little less daunting. They were slight favorites in this game anyway, but a little less daunting for Nashville SC tonight. So we'll see if they can get the job done against Inter Miami CF. Fellas, we've had a lot of experts on the show this week breaking down this matchup for the Titans and the Ravens. We've had Trent Dilfer. We've had Wesley Woodyard. We've had Dennis Pitta. We've had Charles Robinson. I mean, we have run the gamut from experts this week, and it's been interesting to get thoughts on Lamar Jackson and this Ravens offense, because the talking points right now nationally are the offense isn't the same. Lamar Jackson, maybe they're figuring him out around the league. And I think it's a deeper dive than that. I think it's oversimplifying to put it all squarely on Lamar Jackson. The reaction has been all over the place. Let's start with Trent Dilfer, his thoughts specifically on Lamar Jackson and this offense and what he sees moving forward for the Ravens.
I think what they're trying to do is take away what he does best. And the Ravens offense, when you study it, it's obviously misdirection, power run game with him as a threat as a runner. That creates a lot of conflict for your inside players. You know, you got to be gap secure on defense, and he makes you very un-gap secure. So they're adding an extra player in the middle of the football field to help take that away. It also helps with the awesome crossing route packages they have. So the Ravens, when they're dynamic in the passing game, use a lot of crossing routes. They really eat up the middle of the football field. So defenses are adding an extra player to help in the run game, help in the crossing route passing game, and saying, okay, if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to throw the ball outside the numbers. That's not what Lamar does best.
So those were comments made yesterday by Trent Dilfer. Joe, as you hear those comments from Dilfer about forcing Lamar Jackson to throw outside the numbers, I think we would all agree that's not what he does best. But I would also say, like, from an arm strength perspective, he's got the ability to zip the ball outside the numbers, down the field, really wherever you want him to throw the ball. He's got the strength to do it.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, his arm talent is special. You know, I think the biggest knock on Lamar Jackson coming out of college was just the short and intermediate accuracy, you know, the consistency with that. You know, obviously a big play guy all throughout his college career, and he's been that in the NFL at times too. But can he consistently hit those tight windows when he has tight windows, you know, on those deep outs, on those crossing patterns? Like Trent's saying, outside the numbers, that's sort of the book on him. You know, you want him doing that. They like using the middle of the field. But he's got the ability to do anything out there. You know, it's you want him in those obvious passing situations where he's got to be in a drop back game. And then from there, you still have to deal with not letting him get out if you have things covered up. But so far, it's definitely looked very pedestrian for them in the pass game, just like Jeff Zurebeck sort of laid out for us.
And the Titans certainly have players on defense that have experience in stopping Lamar Jackson, or at least slowing down Lamar Jackson, last year in that playoff game. We had Wesley Woodyard, former Titans linebacker, join the show earlier this week and talk about what goes into defending Lamar Jackson. Here's what Wesley Woodyard had to say.
I wouldn't say figure him out. I would say they definitely expect what's going to happen. You know, if we can hold up in the back end and cover those guys, you know, 6-7 seconds, our front is going to get after him. And I think that's what a lot of guys are doing. They understand that in order to nullify his speed, we got to make Lamar run left and right. He has to run sideways. He can't run north and south. And that's what you're seeing more defenses. If you look at our game last year in the playoffs, that's where we got a lot of success. You know, I had a couple of tackles where I ran him down going sideways, and that was our game plan in those games. And I think that's what you have to do with any fast quarterback or any super fast running back that can change the game with one play.
So that was Wesley Woodyard earlier in the week. And you hear him talk about there, Joe, making Lamar Jackson run sideways, not allowing him to beat you with his feet moving down the field, not over-pursuing in the pass-rushing lanes. What's that challenge like of forcing Lamar Jackson to move laterally and make sure that he can't hurt you in a way that really no other quarterback in the league can as effectively as he does with his legs?
I mean, some of this is universal to whatever game you're playing. It's if you win up front, you know, then you are you automatic. If you can get one big win somewhere up there, now you disrupt the timing of a play. You bubble into the backfield and you take away, you know, what they want to do with the timing of that run game. And last year, I mean, I think it was great scheme and plan, and it was a collective effort. But some of it was also that you had a Jarrell Casey, you know, winning. You had Jeffrey Simmons winning at times. And then you force Lamar Jackson to now go lateral, and then you let somebody else go make the play. Again, I mean, I do think last year, I mean, in fact, I remember interviewing him in the locker room and writing about him because he was so good this game. Kamaly Correa was great in this matchup. Not a particularly impactful pass rusher, you know, just sort of a guy out there in a lot of situations. But in this game, and maybe it was because he had been discarded by the Ravens, you know, he made a lot of plays in that way. So it's still if the Ravens can line up and run at the Titans with a run game that, as Jeff Zriebeck just pointed out, is still number two in the league, I mean, it makes it a lot easier for all their other stuff to work. And I do think the Titans last year versus this year were a lot more sound and reliable to just stop traditional run stuff.
Yeah.
If the traditional run stuff works for them, now Lamar Jackson becomes that much more dangerous.
And then maybe the deeper issue in the Ravens offense could be the play caller, and that is Greg Roman and the offense. And we talked about it with Jeff Zriebeck a little bit in terms of opposing defenses knowing what's coming when the Ravens are on offense, and maybe even some defensive players calling out the plays. We had Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on earlier this week to talk about Greg Roman specifically and what's going on with this Ravens offense. Here's what Charles Robinson had to say.
I remember distinctly late in the season last year when I was asking about Greg Roman as a head coaching candidate. And they said, go back to when he was really, you know, having an impact in San Francisco with Harbaugh. And they said, he did not adjust well once people sort of figured out what they were doing with Kaepernick. And, you know, some of the things then that were sort of considered ahead of the curve offensively, they're like, Greg's got to figure out a way to not just be linear. He has to continue to tweak his system as the season goes on and adjust. And that's what's going to make him a great head coach if he becomes a head coach. I'm hearing the same things this year with Baltimore. They're like, man, it's very linear. They're running a lot of the same stuff. And then you hear obviously Lamar Jackson say, hey, we've got people on defense calling out our offense when we're at the line of scrimmage. And that has echoes back to the San Francisco days where people sort of figured out the things that they were running with Kaepernick.
So, Joe, I hear those comments by Charles Robinson, and then you've kind of factored in with what Lamar Jackson has said about being predictable and the defense is knowing what's coming. To me, this game against the Titans is a prove-it game for Greg Roman. It's up to him to diversify this offense a little bit, to add some new wrinkles that maybe people aren't ready for heading into this game, and time out those play calls a little bit better. To me, this is a huge game for Greg Roman and the Ravens offense.
It is, because look, like Charles said, I mean, this stuff gets around, and there's no way Greg Roman is listening to that stuff. First of all, he knows what people said about San Francisco. He knows what happened there, and there's no way that he doesn't hear this. When it gets to the point that your quarterback is saying that, again, in these antiseptic Zoom calls where usually it's just completely nothing said, apparently like Ryan Tannehill made like a touchdowns and not aren't touch up for Jimmy Fallon. And they're so boring that you don't like, I didn't even notice it. Like, oh, really? You said that? Okay. I mean, like they're just the most boring things in the world. It's a bad situation. You get a quarterback basically calling out your OC on one of those, the OC is going to notice. And so Greg Roman, he's got a big, this is a big week. And like Jeff pointed out to us too, the Ravens, and maybe this is good for the Titans, I hadn't thought of it in these terms, but the Ravens get to turn around in a short week and see the Steelers right after this. So it's a big 5 days for Greg Roman and that offense to show that they aren't going as fast in the wrong direction as it looks like they are right now.
Let's quickly go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben text in, will Lamar fall off as fast as Kaepernick once he got figured out year after year? I think it's possible. I think we've seen the best of Lamar Jackson. Do you buy, Joe, that we've already seen the best of Lamar Jackson in his career?
I don't necessarily buy that. Listen, Colin Kaepernick, and that was one of those moments in time, little offensive, people couldn't figure it out, and they had people, schematically then. And Kaepernick played great, but Lamar Jackson is much more talented than Colin Kaepernick. Okay, Lamar Jackson has much more upside as an all-around player than Colin Kaepernick, I believe. So I think that's a tough comparison. I understand it, especially when you have the same OC. Lamar Jackson's got to get better, no question about it, at some of the things we're talking about. The accuracy in intermediate throws and short throws, and sometimes people just, it's just not a strength, and he's probably never going to be, Drew Brees on that stuff. But I still think he has a world of ability and opportunity to get better.
Speaking of Drew Brees, this coming from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. Guess who's been getting the starting reps at quarterback for New Orleans this week? It has not been Jameis Winston. It's been Taysom Hill, baby. Looks like he's going to be starting for the Saints. I know that just fires you up.
Well, hey, at least then the dumb Taysom Hill packages can't be a part of the game plan. So I guess in a way it's good.
Or maybe it's the entire game plan. I guess we'll just have to wait and see what the Saints look like on Sunday. When we come back, our good friend David Ubben from The Athletic will join us. We'll dive back into the Vols conversation with him. That's coming up next. But first, make sure you're tuning in to this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday, the NFL Game of the Week is the Green Bay Packers taking on the Indianapolis Colts. Huge implications there for the Tennessee Titans. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. with a 3:25 p.m. kickoff. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.